भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भागवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट नंबर 15 द हिस्ट्री ऑफ द लाइफ ऑफ अजम्यो केचित् केवलया भक्त्या वासुदेवा परायण आगम धन्वंती करिष्येन निहारम इव भास्कर केचित् केवलया भक्त्या वासुदेव परायण आगम गुणवन करिष्येन निहारम इव भास्कर केचित् केवलया भक्त्या वासुदेव परायणः आगम गुणवन करिष्येन निहारम इव भास्करः केचित् केवलया भक्त्या वासुदेव परायणः आगम गुणवन्ति करिष्येन निहारम इव भास्करः केचित् केवलया भक्त्या वासुदेव परायण करिष्येन इव भास्कर इट्स एक्चुअली यू राइट इट्स कर्ष्येन आई कुडन्ट सी इट प्रॉपरली आई थॉट इट करिष्येन इट्स कर्ष्येन केचित् केवलया भक्त्या वासुदेव परायणः अवन्युञ्जन्ति कर्ष्येन निहरम् इव भास्करः माताजीस् केचित् केवलया भक्त्या वासुदेव परायण अवन्युन्वन्ति कर्ष्येन निहरम् इव भास्करः केचित् केवलया भक्त्या वासुदेव परायणः अगम दुर्वन्ति कर्ष्येन वरम इव भास्करः केचित् सम पीपल केवलय भक्त्या बाय एग्जीक्यूटिंग अनलॉयड डिवोशनल सर्विस Vasudeva to Lord Krishna, the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead. Parayanaha, completely attached only to such service without dependence on austerity, penance, cultivation of knowledge, or pious activities. Agam, all kinds of sinful reactions. Nunvanti, destroy. Katnyena, completely, with no possibility that sinful desires will revive. Niharam, far, eva, like, Bhaskaraha, the sun. Translation. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the previous verse, Sukadev Goswami gave the example that the dried leaves of creepers beneath a bamboo tree may be completely burnt to ashes by fire, although the creepers may sprout again because the root is still in the ground. Similarly, because the root of sinful desire is not destroyed in the heart of a person who is cultivating knowledge, but who has no taste for devotional service, there is a possibility that his sinful desires will reappear. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.4, Shreya Shritin Bhaktim Udasyate Vibho Klisnyanti Ye Kevala Bodha Labdaye. Speculators who undergo great labor to gain a meticulous understanding of the material world by distinguishing between sinful and pious activities, but who are not situated in devotional service, are prone to material activities. They may fall down and become implicated in fruitive activities. If one becomes attached to devotional service, however, his desires for material enjoyment are automatically vanquished without separate endeavor. Bhakti parena sunubhavo viraktir anyata cha. If one is advanced in Krishna consciousness, material activities, both sinful and pious, automatically become distasteful to him. That is the test of Krishna consciousness. Both pious and impious activities are actually due to ignorance, because a living entity, as an eternal servant of Krishna, has no need to act for his personal sense gratification. Therefore, as soon as one is reclaimed in the platform of devotional service, he relinquishes his attachment for pious and impious activities and is interested only in what will satisfy Krishna. This process of bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, Vasudeva Parayana, relieves one from the reaction of all activities. Since Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee, the answers of his guru, Sukadeva Goswami, concerning karma kanda and jnana kanda could not satisfy him. Therefore, Sukadeva Goswami, knowing very well the heart of his disciple, explained the transcendental bliss of devotional service. The word kechit, which is used in this word in this verse, means a few people, but not all. Not everyone can become Krishna conscious. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita 7.3, Manusyanam sahasresu kaschid yatati siddhaye yatatamapi siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. Practically no one understands Krishna as he is, for Krishna cannot be understood through pious activities or attainment of the most elevated speculative knowledge. Actually, the highest knowledge consists of understanding Krishna. Unintelligent men who do not understand Krishna are grossly puffed up, thinking that they are liberated or have themselves become Krishna or Narayan. This is ignorance. To indicate the purity of bhakti, devotional service, Srila Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11, Anya vilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anakuyena krishnanu siranam bhakti uttama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Srila Rupa Goswami further explains that bhakti is kleshagni subadha, which means if one takes the devotional service, all kinds of unnecessary labor and material distress cease entirely and one achieves all good fortune. Bhakti is so powerful that it is also said to be moksha lagutakrit. In other words, it minimizes the importance of liberation. Non-devotees must undergo material hardships because they are prone to commit sinful fruitive activities. The desire to commit sinful actions continues in their hearts due to ignorance. These sinful actions are divided into three categories: pataka, mahapataka, and atipataka, and also into two divisions, prarabdha and aprarabdha. Prarabdha refers to sinful actions from which one is suffering at the present, and aprarabdha refers to sources of potential suffering. When the seeds, bija, of sinful reactions have not yet fructified, the reactions are called aprarabdha. These seeds of sinful action are unseen, but they are unlimited, and no one can trace when they are first planted. Because of prarabdha's sinful reactions that have already fructified, one is seen to have taken birth in a low family or to be suffering from other miseries. When one takes to devotional service, however, all phases of sinful life, including prarabdha, aprarabdha, and bija, are vanquished. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.14.19, Lord Krishna tells Uddhava, Yatagni susamridarchi karoti idam sivashmasat tatamad vishaya bhaktir udhavayanamsi kritsnasaha. My dear Uddhava, devotional service in relation with me is like a blazing fire that can burn to ashes all the fuel of sinful activities supplied to it. How devotional service vanquishes the reactions of sinful life is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam 3.33.6 in a verse spoken during Lord Kapiladeva's instructions to his mother, Devahuti. Devahuti said, Yana me deya shravana nukirtanat yat pravanat yat smaranat tapikvachit swado pisadya savanaya kalpate kutapunaste bhagavan nidarshanat. My dear Lord, if even a person born in a family of dog-eaters hears and repeats the chanting of your glories, offers respects to you and remembers you, he is immediately greater than a Brahmin and is therefore eligible to perform sacrifices. Therefore, what is to be said of one who has seen you directly? In the Padma Purana, there is a statement that persons whose hearts are always attached to the devotional service of Lord Vishnu are immediately released from all the reactions of sinful life. These reactions generally exist in four phases. Some of them are ready to produce results immediately, some are in the form of seeds, some are unmanifested, and some are current. All such reactions are immediately nullified by devotional service. When devotional service is present in one's heart, desires to perform sinful activities have no place there. Sinful life is due to ignorance, which means forgetfulness of one's constitutional position as an eternal servant of God. But when one is fully Krishna conscious, he realizes that he is God's eternal servant. In this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami comments that bhakti may be divided into two divisions. One, shantata, devotional service then continues incessantly with faith and love. And two, karachitki, devotional service that does not continue incessantly, but is sometimes awakened. Incessantly flowing devotional service, shantata, may also be divided into two categories. One, service performed with slight attachment, and two, spontaneous devotional service. Intermittent devotional service, karachitki, may be divided into three categories. One, ragavasamayi, devotional service in which one is almost attached. Two, ragavasa sunya swarupa bhuta, Devotional service in which there is no spontaneous love, but one likes the constitutional position of serving. And three, abhasa rupa, a slight glimpse of devotional service. As for atonement, if one has caught even a slight glimpse of devotional service, all needs to undergo prayaschitta, atonement, are superseded. Therefore, atonement is certainly unnecessary when one has achieved spontaneous love. And above that, attachment with love, which are signs of increasing advancement in kadachitki. Even in the stage of abhasa rupa bhakti, all the reactions of sinful life are uprooted and vanquished. Srila Jiva Goswami expresses the opinion that the word kartsnyena means that even if one has a desire to commit sinful actions, the roots of that desire are vanquished merely by abhasa rupa bhakti. The example of Bhaskara, the sun, is most appropriate. The abhas feature of bhakti is compared to twilight, and the accumulation of one's sinful activities is compared to fog. Since fog does not spread through the sky, the sun need to do no more than merely manifest its fog's rays, and the fog immediately disappears. Since fog does not spread throughout the sky, the sun need do no more than merely manifest its first rays, and the fog immediately disappears. Similarly, if one has even a slight relationship with devotional service, all the fog of his sinful life is immediately vanquished. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva parayana agam dunvanti kartsnyena niharam iva bhaskaram. Only a rare person who has adopted complete unalloyed devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions with no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service, just as the sun can immediately dissipate fog by its rays. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shilakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet. So herein, the instruction is being given. We heard previously, tapasa brahmacharjena, samena cha, tamena cha, chagena satya socha bhyam, yamena niyamena va. That one has to live the life of celibacy, brahmacharjena, a life of austerity, tapasya, tapo divyam putrakayena satyam. Rishabdev also told his sons, this human form of life is meant for tapa. Tapo divyam, transcendental austerity, putrakayena sadyam sudyat yasmad brahmasokyam tonantam. Tapasa brahmacharjena, samena cha, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, tamena cha, tyagena, becoming renounced, satya, being truthful, sochabhyam, being clean inside and outside by washing and by chanting the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna, yamena niyamena va, and constantly following the regular principles and chanting. So these are the instructions Ajamiyo is going to be receiving. He was attached, as we will find out, to his son, Narayan. They had named him, because his Vedic culture, you give a nice name from Krishna, Narayan Das, or Radha Dasi. Some nice name, Sita, Ram. So that one is constantly chanting. Even you're calling the children, Narayana, come do this. Narayana, come do that. So Ajamil, although he was caught up in sinful activities. Seemingly, he was just trying to support his family, even though he had married the prostitute that he had seen formerly. He was supporting his family. He was an old man. He was just engaged in the honest endeavor of materialistic life, but it's considered by Vedic culture to be very sinful. Even one is engaged in the honest endeavor of eating, sleeping, mating, and defense, that is sinful life. And therefore the instruction is there, tapasa brahmacharyena. First of all, to concentrate the mind, one must lead a life of celibacy. Samena cha, controlling the mind. Tamena cha, controlling the senses. Constantly chanting, engaging in devotional service. But here we learn in this verse that it isn't simply by negation. Prabhupada enunciated in the Sunday lecture, we don't hear enough, minimize eating. Why are you wasting your time sleeping? They want to sleep more and more. I said yesterday that my father, practically, on Sunday morning, I think also Saturday morning, we couldn't make any noise in the house. When I was very, very young, till 15, 16, because my father wanted to sleep from 8 the night before till noon the following day. And in material life, this is considered a great luxury. Sleep. I think that must have been something like 18 hours of sleep. No, 16, I'm sorry. 16 hours of sleep. Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada says you need 5-6 hours most. The six Goswamis, they said reduce your sleeping. Reduce your eating. Offer constantly obeisances. They were engaged studying the Vedic literature, giving up completely. And Prabhupada said in the lecture yesterday, give up sense gratification. This is spiritual life. Spiritual life doesn't mean some touch. Someone is going to touch you and all of a sudden you're spiritual and give you a zap. Even John Lennon asked Srila Prabhupada, zap us, Swami. Prabhupada said, I'm not here to zap you. I'm not a zapper. They're thinking I get some zap. They call it shaktipat. Someone is giving a slap or a touch, and oh, now you have the blessings, and all of a sudden, you're spiritual. We said one time, we went to one yogi, so-called. He said, you don't need, we just got finished chanting. The whole room was chanting with us. A few hundred people. Bogus yogi said, you don't need chanting. You don't need any book. You don't need any philosophy. All you have to do is look at me. He wasn't really that good looking either, I have to tell you. He had a white beard and white hair, an old Indian guy. And he had the whole room stare at him for 10, 15 minutes till they were dizzy. And that was his Shakti. He was giving the Shakti. They were seeing some lights and some amazing, so-called amazing things by staring at him. The devotees were sitting there. They were seeing an old white-haired, white-bearded Indian guy, finished. No Shakti, no nothing. They were nudging me, can we get out of here? Unfortunately, we were on the stage. and to leave would have been very impolite. We waited till there was a recess, what do you call intermission, and we ran, never to come back again. But this is actually going on in the name of spirituality. Oh, this is very spiritual, by looking at someone or by being zapped and receiving Shaktipat. Srimad Bhagavatam says no. Says even you may follow tapasa brahmacharyena samena cha dhamena cha. You may lead a life, a spiritual life, serious spiritual life. Bhagavatam is telling us. But those things, pious activity, impious activity, renounced activity, not renounced activity, if it's not including devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it's finished. Then it doesn't mean anything. Of course, we do austerity, but we do it for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a story in the Mahabharata that Yudhisthira was confronted with the war. His kingdom had been robbed from him by the Kauravas, his cousins. His wife had been greatly offended. They had tried to disrobe Draupadi in the court of the king of the Kauravas. Of course, Krishna protected her because she had full faith in Lord Krishna and devotional service. She put her hands in the air, and when Dushyasana was trying to disrobe her, Krishna supplied unlimited cloth so he couldn't offend, even though he had pulled her hair and dragged her into the court, the assembly of the Kauravas. Their kingdom was stolen from them. They were forced to go into the forest for 13 years, 12 years in the forest, and 1 year incognito. Yudhisthira was prepared to tolerate all of those insults. Even the Vedas say if someone has insulted your wife, they deserve to be killed immediately, like fire, according to old Vedic instruction. We don't do that now. Otherwise, most of us would be dead. But Yudhisthira hesitated and even followed the command to go to the forest for all those years because he was for peace. He didn't want the destruction of all the kings. But Krishna went, very interestingly, to right before the war. They were trying to avert having the Battle of Kurukshetra. Yudhisthira didn't want the war, even though the other Pandavas, Arjun, Bhima, Nakula and Sahadev, were bent on fulfilling their oaths of destroying the Pandava cousins, tearing out the heart of Dushyasana, breaking the thigh of Duryodhana. So many promises they had made and oaths. Yudhisthira was still following Dharma and trying to avert. But when Krishna went to Hastinapur and he presented the case of the Pandavas, give them a few villages, don't engage in this war. Don't be so sinful and cruel, Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra. Duryodhana was so outraged that he tried to arrest Lord Krishna. They tried to tie up and arrest Krishna. Of course, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifested his Virat Rupa. And they considered it some trick, some mystical trick. because they were not devotees. When Yudhisthira found out that they had offended Lord Krishna, after all the offenses that take place to his wife, to his brothers, to the kingdom, he tolerated. But as soon as Krishna was offended, Yudhisthira became like fire and prepared everyone for the battle of Kurukshetra, for the war. As soon as he heard that they were thinking of arresting Lord Krishna. So, our austerity, our penance, human form of life is meant for that, austerity and penance. But not dry, not that we just become renounced, or just become brahmachari. Of course, our philosophy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga, as renounced as possible. And all throughout the Vedic scriptures, that instruction is there. But sometimes we don't hear it. I was very fortunate to be in the hospital room, and a medical doctor came. It was cardiologist. And he said, you can't exert your heart for now. You shouldn't exert your heart anymore. You have to be very still, your heart. No heavy exercise. Especially, he said, no sex. That's the worst exercise for your heart. It goes too fast. I smiled. He looked at me to see. I smiled. I said, that's nice. By default, that's nice. Then he said, also, you've been laying here for 14 hours. We have you hooked up to two IVs and all of these machines and nitroglycerin cream on my chest. And still your blood pressure is high. Have you ever heard of meditation? He told me. I smiled and said, well, I do chanting. He said, try to go deeper. He actually told me, go deeper. I thought, actually, maybe I am dead, and this is the representatives of the six Goswamis telling me, brahmachari, go deep in your chanting. And then I thought, well, no, I'm still alive. These are real doctors. Those are nurses. There's the window you could look out. Then the nephrologist came in, and he said, you have, you know, some problems here. To avoid dialysis, I want you to eat as little as possible and drink liquids as little as possible. I said, really? Then I knew, this is the representatives of the nectar of instruction. This is Dr. Rupa Goswami Prabhupada. Give up sex, chant very nice, give up eating, and give up drinking. I was waiting for the next one to come in, the lung doctor, and say, can you offer obeisances 100 times a day? And give up your sleeping. Of course, they wake you every hour to make sure you don't go in a coma. Markandeya Prabhu was there, and we were trying to go to sleep. And every hour, they'd come in and poke you or take blood or wake you up. Mr. Cadets. So they were also reducing the sleeping. And I thought, I actually had a realization that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita to do all these things. Not only they said to renounce, but it says to engage in anyabhilasita sunyam, jnana karmati, anukulyena krishna anusilanam, favorable devotional service. So not only the doctors, we hear it constantly, and we're like, yeah, when I get older, or someday. Or, yeah, that's for the Goswamis, that's not me. I am a householder, or whatever. But when we hear it from a doctor, reduce your eating, reduce your sleep, your drinking, give up sense gratification and try to chant better, or you'll be in the hospital again. Oh, then we take it very seriously. So Krishna comes in different forms. I was thinking, I wasn't ready to hear it. After 37 years, the Bhagavatam is saying, and I'm like, yeah, I know. Prabhupada, we're listening to class after class after class when we drive. Naikatma Prabhu and myself were listening, Jai Gauranga Prabhu, to so many classes. Prabhupada's saying same thing. But we don't hear it, and we have to hear it from some medical man that says, if you don't do this, you're not going to be able to breathe very well. Oh, then, okay, I'll do it. Don't do this, you're going to Creamy Bhojana Sukra Mukha Kumbhipaka. We're like, yeah. I heard of those places. That is so interesting. Funny. Hellish world is funny. And Krishna's saying, you're going. But when the doctor says, you're going to have a hard time breathing unless you fall, okay, I'll do it. And I was thinking Krishna was so kind because I wasn't listening so attentively. Then he's saying, okay, fine. You don't want to listen? Then how about I'm the breath of life and I won't give you any breath. You like that one? Now you remember me? Will you think of me instead of sense gratification now? If you remember, I'm the breath of life, and hey, no breath. Today, no breath. So this human form of life is very fragile and very short. We live up most 100 years, devotees, we live maybe, 50, 60, 65 years for some strange reason. Prabhupada must be calling, there must be some need in another place. Devotees are not living very long. This human form of life is fragile and it goes very fast, and therefore we have to take advantage from the Bhagavatam or from doctors. To tapasa brahmacharyena samena chadamena cha, and engage favorably in devotional service, will become happy and peaceful and will make others happy and peaceful, so that they can fulfill their human mission of life also and not waste the life just trying to accumulate objects of the senses and just trying to titillate the senses, which are fated for destruction. Any question or discussion? I'm sorry I went over time. That was like 7 pages of purport. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Cards near. Oh, here. You were right, it's Kartsnina. My eyes.